Start with a couple of questions to John. How come this is the third time we're actually taking focus from the fighters and the fights and talking about what you have in your body, whether it's a picogram or a pictogram? Why have you tested now positive?
Next question, please. Thank you.
All right. Dana White. Tell me, why are we still having this guy here instead of seeing a 2-year suspension like Frank Mir?
Why are we still what? What's the question? Hold on.
Hold on.
Sit down.
I'm sitting down.
I want to take the mic from her. Better questions. Better journalism.
I don't understand what your question is.
What's the reason?
Better journalism. Better journalism. You suck. Better journalism.
Hold on. Let her talk. What's the question?
What's the reason for John Jones having a picogram in his body?
That's been the topic of
that's
this entire.
Yeah, well, you're listening.
I told you, like I told Ariel, talk to Jeff Nowitzki about that. If you want to know the science of what's going on, talk to him.
All right.
Ah, yes, that is how we start this Friday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. What's up, beautiful people? Welcome to the show. I am the captain of this ship, your host, Al Martin, coming to you live here inside of Studio West on the campus of Michigan State University. It's the very first Current Sports episode since Christmas Day. I first off want to start by saying happy holidays to you and yours. I really hope all of our listeners out there had a great one. Christmas, man, it's one of my favorite holidays. Well, not one of. It is my favorite holiday of the yearly calendar. I had a great one. You know, I was down in Florida visiting my mom who, you know, she's been down there now for 3 years. I can't believe she's been in the Fort Lauderdale area now for 3 years. It was nice. Yeah, I don't want to rub it in, but it was really nice to get away from the gray and cold weather that is Michigan, with the exception of today. It's in the 50s today, folks. Can you believe that? Break out the bathing suit, baby. I can't believe it's 50 degrees on December 28th, 2018. That's insane, right? But that's not the norm here in Michigan. We all know that. It was really nice being down in Florida. It was about, you know, 75, 80 degrees every day. The lows during the night were around 60. Got to play 3 rounds of golf. I have to admit, one of those rounds had to be probably, you know, my worst round of golf I've played in years. Even with that being said, though, I was still able to leave Florida undefeated yet again on the links against my stepdad. Not to rub it in, but it's being here in Michigan, you can't stay warmed up throughout the year just because it does not stay warm throughout the year. So if you really want to keep that golf game in tune, you know, you're going to have to go to the golf dome or maybe a heated driving range somewhere. But I had a great time, you know, seeing my mom and my stepdad, my little sis, and also my sister who lives in New York City. She flew in as well. It was the first time in a long time that we've all been together on Christmas. Got some cool gifts. But, you know, I've hit the age now. You know, I was just reflecting, you know, on this during Christmas Day. You know, I've hit that age now where it doesn't really excite me anymore to get gifts. I love giving gifts. You know, I love seeing the reaction on people's faces whenever I give them something for Christmas. All right. So I got a few clothes. Probably my favorite gift that I got on Christmas Day was a How About Them Cowboys t-shirt. Yes, my mom knows me quite well. You guys do too. You know, I'm a diehard Dallas Cowboys fan, so she actually got me a shirt, a gray shirt with the star on it. Respect the star, folks, that says How About Them Cowboys. I loved it so much. I actually wore it that day, that Christmas Day during dinner. Loved it. So thank you. Thank you, Mom and my stepdad, for that gift. That was my favorite gift. But, you know, again, I told you, I love giving gifts. So, you know, I got my mom this pots and pans set that she has been dying to have for a long time. We all chipped in because we all know how expensive laptops are, right? The whole family chipped in to get my little sister a laptop that she needs for school. I got my stepdad talking about his golf game, right? You know, and I always kill him on the short game on the putting surface. So I got him an indoor putting green that's 10 feet long. So I hope he's practicing right now as I speak because he needs it. And for my sister who lives out in NYC, I don't know if I told you guys this, but she is an aspiring artist. She's out in NYC. She got signed to a label out there. So she's like the starving artist where she's like, you know, working in the restaurant by day and by night she's living in the studio. So I got her a brand new studio mic that she could use to, again, hone her skills on the mic as a singer. So and they all loved her gifts. So mission accomplished. Mission accomplished. Behind the glass, I want to give a big shout out to our very own Brad Walker, who is in the his house, filling in, of course, for our usual suspects who are behind the glass. Engineers Connor Mathis, Jack Kerwin, and of course, Alec Rio. They are still away on vacay as Michigan State students don't return until, you know, like after the first week of January. So Brad Walker is chipping in and helping out on this show. Brad, happy holidays to the Walker family, and I hope you had a great Christmas, my man.
What is up, Al?
What's up, dude?
We had a good, we had a very good Christmas, and it is about giving. I like that kind of stuff.
I love it, too.
I love it. Because, you know, when you get older and you start getting clothes and you get household items, you're just getting older. It's better to give than receive. You know what I mean?
Preach on. It's good for the soul, Brad.
It's good for the soul.
And you know what? I was behind the glass, and I asked you before we got on the air, I mean, what did you receive, and what was your favorite gift? And you got a really cool shirt that you're rocking right now. You can't see it. For those watching at Facebook.com/WKAR News at our Facebook live stream, of course, you can just see my beautiful face. You can't see Brad's GQ swag behind the glass. But you received a really cool jersey because your son does play college baseball, and you actually got his jersey.
I do. It's a double extra large because that's how large I am. But I like bigger things like that. But anyway, it's a Huntington Forester. That's where he plays in Indiana, and it's got his number 35 on the back. So I'll be rocking that as some of his games this coming year. So
that's awesome.
It'll be awesome. Yeah.
It's pretty fly, too. I'm not going to lie. I was like, oh, my gosh, boy, that's really cool what you got on. Then I saw the logo, and I'm like, yep, that's where your son plays. So that is awesome stuff. And, you know, holiday traditions, you know, it's so fun being around the fam. But I tell you what, my voice, I don't know if you guys can tell, it's a little hoarse right now. And I must admit, when my family gets together, Brad, I don't know if your family's like this, but we always have these really intense debates. And everybody during these debates thinks that they're right. So it gets kind of serious. I kid you not, Brad. We had debates that ranged from sports, as we're debating about, you know, the L.A. Lakers and LeBron James and whether or not they will have a realistic shot at winning an NBA championship. That got pretty heated. Then that went from that to somehow bringing up the whole R. Kelly scandal, and we're arguing about that left and right and taking sides in that. And then that goes, my little sister, again, she's a music head. That's what she does. We're sitting in the living room. We found ourselves sitting in the living room having a huge debate about who's the most talented artist between Bruno Mars and Justin Timberlake. It got so heated, Brad, that I'm like, you know what? Let's just let the people talk. And I put it as my status on my Facebook page. And by the way, Dominique, my little sis, I'm winning this argument. I went with Bruno Mars, and he's winning like 63% to 37%. So that's why my voice is a bit harsh. But that's like the family tradition around the holidays. We debate left and right. And, you know, I saw a lot of people out there also, aside from debates, you know, every family has like their holiday traditions. I saw a lot of families this year doing this. I don't know if you guys did this in the Walker household, Brad. But there's like this new trend now where families dress up in like matching holiday pajamas and will take holiday pictures in front of the Christmas tree.
Oh, I've seen that, but we don't do that.
You guys don't do that.
No.
Would you ever do that? If your wife was like, look, I mean, if the wifey says it, you have to do it, Brad, right?
You have to do it, I guess.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But you got in the Walker household, you guys aren't dressing up in the matching pajamas in front of the Christmas tree, all right?
No.
Okay, good.
No.
good, because I saw that so much on my timeline. So that's what I want to know. I want to know what your holiday traditions are. And again, we're going to dive into some sports talk in just a moment. We've got a great show in store for you guys. It will be the final live current sports before we usher in the new year. So this is the final current sports of 2018. What's on the docket, you ask, as far as sports talk is concerned? Well, I'll be glad to tell you. We, of course, will talk about Michigan State playing in the Red Box Bowl against the Oregon Ducks New Year's Eve. That will be a 4 p.m. kickoff here in Michigan. And I'll give you an update on how Michigan State is preparing. And I briefly want to touch on Michigan preparing to take on Florida in the Peach Bowl. And I do want to touch on the college football playoff semifinals that officially get underway tomorrow. Can you believe that? And I got a pretty funny bite I want to roll in as well. And as you just heard in that introduction, John Jones. Oh, boy, John Jones. That was a back and forth between John and a female reporter that and asked a fair question. This female reporter is just doing her job, all right, and asking a question that everybody wants to know. I mean, how does John Jones continue to get these second chances when others who break the rule and are found with having banned substances in their bodies, I mean, they get suspended. I've seen, you know, one fighter, you know, get suspended for 2 years for having a banned substance, a one-time, you know, abuser of this substance, or a one-time getting caught, getting a two-year ban. But John Jones, I mean, it's like five times now he's been caught, and yet he still gets a chance to fight. So John Jones, totally unfair to go at this reporter the way he did. I want to have a conversation, a brief one, about PED use in sports, because this also has a direct relation to the Clemson college football program, in which three players have been suspended in that respective bowl game for having illegal substances in their bodies. And I don't know if you guys have seen this report, but Matt Patricia. Yeah, the Detroit Lions will effectively play their final game of the season this weekend against the Green Bay Packers. They're not making the playoffs. That ship has sailed. That's over with now. And now these reports are coming out about Matt Patricia being late for team meetings. And we'll dive into the conversation whether or not this has anything, you know, I should say, I'll ask this, whether or not that conversation has a direct correlation to Matt Patricia possibly losing his job after this really bad first year as the head coach of the Honolulu Blue. Is this story that serious? All right, we'll talk about that. And on the back end of the show, it is Friday. We will talk with Blessed Body Training founder Johnny Lewis with another edition of Fit Fridays with Blessed Body. So all of that while, of course, inviting you to be a part of the hour, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. That's the number to call. Weigh in at facebook.com/WKAR News. You can also tweet the show at WKAR_sports or tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR. You know what's next? Here are your current sports quick hit headliners. I just want to give you guys a quick update when it concerns the Michigan State football team getting ready for the Red Box Bowl on New Year's Eve against the Oregon Ducks. Yesterday, after a long day of travel to the Bay Area and a late afternoon practice, the Michigan State football team right back at it after, actually, they got there on Wednesday, and they were right back at it yesterday as they continue to prepare for the Red Box Bowl matchup. Following team meetings yesterday morning, the Spartans practiced for 2.5 hours in full pads in the afternoon at Laney College in Oakland under sunny skies and temperatures in the low 60s. This is coming from Michigan State football head coach Mark D'Antonio, who has already won a school record 5 bowl games. Quote, I thought we needed to get back into playing shape a bit, push the envelope a bit. We had a lot of different groups going and things of that nature, so we got a lot of work done. More on Michigan State football preparing for the Red Box Bowl in just a moment. I do want to give you guys an update concerning Big Ten teams playing already in bowl games. Today, you can actually catch Purdue and Auburn. That one actually kicks off in about 15 minutes at 1:30 p.m. on ESPN in the Franklin American Mortgage Music City Bowl in Nashville, Tennessee at Nissan Stadium. On Wednesday, we saw the Minnesota Golden Gophers top Georgia Tech 34-10 in the Quick Lane Bowl. Yesterday, how about Wisconsin just laying it on the Miami Hurricanes 35-3. The final there in the New Era Pinstripe Bowl, which was played, of course, in New York City at Yankee Stadium. And there's a lot of controversy concerning this game because Wisconsin was up pretty heavy in the fourth quarter with about a minute and 30 left. And, you know, I think it was like fourth down and some change. And instead of just, you know, or third or fourth down, one of the two. And instead of just kneeling and just saying, all right, that's all she wrote, Wisconsin actually went for it. They ended up scoring on that drive, and Miami wasn't too happy about it. All right? I adhere to the philosophy, look, man, if you don't like it, stop me. All right? But when it comes to sportsmanship, may not be the right move. So anyway, Wisconsin just pounces Miami 35-3. Of course, on Saturday at noon, December 29th, Michigan and Florida in the Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl at Mercedes-Benz Stadium out in Atlanta, Georgia. Again, Michigan State and Oregon will go at it on New Year's Eve at, 3 p.m. I said 4 p.m. A minute ago. 3 p.m. In Santa Clara, California at Levi Stadium. Also on that day, Northwestern and Utah at 7 p.m. And then on January 1st, you can catch Mississippi State and Iowa in the Outback Bowl, Kentucky and Penn State in the Verbo Citrus Bowl, and also Washington and Ohio State in the Rose Bowl. So there you have that. More on those bowl games. And I do want to touch on the college football playoff, which will officially kick off tomorrow. Do want to touch on those two matchups in just a moment as well. Want to pass this news along to you guys. Clemson will officially be without three players, including starting defensive lineman Dexter Lawrence, for the Tigers college football playoff semifinal at the Goodyear Cotton Bowl Classic after B samples of NCAA drug tests also show trace amounts of a banned substance. This is coming from Clemson Director of Athletics Dan Radovich. He announced this in a statement. Quote, this evening, Clemson Athletics received confirmation from the NC2A of suspensions of tight end Braden Galloway, offensive lineman Zach Gilia, and defensive tackle Dexter Lawrence, all three of whom will be unavailable for Saturday's game against Notre Dame. The athletic department will have no further comments of this matter this evening as it considers all of our options, including appeals, end quote. Now, the Tigers had been preparing for its Goodyear Cotton Bowl Classic matchup with Notre Dame, assuming Lawrence would not play. The junior, who is widely projected as a future first-round NFL draft pick, has not practiced with the team since Clemson learned of the initial positive test last week. The Detroit Red Wings were in action yesterday, and they fell to the Pittsburgh Penguins 5-2, the final in that matchup, as the Wings now fall to 15-18-6 on the year. Also, the Detroit Pistons will be in action on the road tonight, a 7 p.m. tip time against the Indiana Pacers. The Pistons sitting at an even keel 500, 16-16 record. The Pacers at 23-12. Of course, that game tonight at Bankers Life Fieldhouse in Indianapolis, Indiana. The Pistons got back on track Wednesday with a win over the lowly Washington Wizards, but now Detroit visits Central Division foe Indiana, which sits actually third in the NBA's Eastern Conference right now and are just 1.5 games behind Milwaukee for first place in the division. This is the first of 4 games against the Pacers, who have won 3 straight and, of course, are led by Indiana's own Victor Oladipo, who is averaging 20 points per game. He is, for sure, so fun to watch. All right, as I mentioned, Matty Patty, head coach of the Detroit Lions, Matt Patricia. The Detroit Free Press reports that an anonymous former player said that Patricia was consistently late to his own team meetings. Chalk that up as a revelation, not expected from a Bill Belichick disciple, right? A reporter used the opportunity of Patricia showing up late to a news conference on Wednesday to probe him on his thoughts on punctuality. This is what Patricia had to say. Quote, fluidity is best answer. I think it just depends on the situation, really. It depends. There's a pretty busy schedule from those situations, I think, for everybody. I think fluidity is probably the best answer for you. Fluidity. Brad, if I was late for my show at 1 p.m. and I said, fluidity is the right answer, Brad. Hey, I'm a busy man, Brad. You think I still have my job here at WKR?
Oh, we would accept that with no problem.
No problem, right?
No problem.
I'll still be employed here. No problem. Punctuality? Come on, son.
The door is locked, my friend.
Exactly. All right. Also, some news concerning the Detroit Lions. Matthew Stafford, who, of course, did not have a great year this past season. It was just a bad season all around for the Honolulu Blue. But on Thursday, Stafford made it clear that he would prefer to remain in Detroit. This is what Stafford said, courtesy of the Lions' official website. Quote, I think there's something special about a guy getting a chance to play his entire career in one place. Not many guys get to do that these days. I would love to be one of those guys. So Matthew Stafford wants to stay in Detroit. He also went on to say, well, actually, Patricia said on Friday, so today Patricia made this statement. Quote, we are in a situation where Matt Stafford is our quarterback. That's what it is. I think the world of the guy. So no matter how you may feel about Matthew Stafford, you got to acknowledge his contract. He signed a 5-year, $135 million contract extension in August of last year, and he will enter the season finale against the Green Bay Packers with 3,500 yards, passing, 19 touchdowns, 11 INTs for a passer rating of 88.7. But, you know, again, you have this conversation left and right about whether or not the Lions should move on from Stafford. I just sit there and say, look, man, you signed him to $135 million. I mean, you kind of stuck with him, right? You got to ride this out and just see what happens. And last but not least, Jim Caldwell has reportedly interviewed for the Green Bay Packers job. Interesting, right? Wouldn't that be something if the Green Bay Packers, you know, brought Jim Caldwell on board? That would be interesting. And now, you know, you're starting to have these debates that we had earlier in the year here on Current Sports. You know, who's the better coach, Jim Caldwell or Matt Patricia? And should the Lions have kept Jim Caldwell? So there you have that. Jim Caldwell has interviewed with the Green Bay Packers trying to get that head coaching position. All right, that wraps up our Current Sports Quick Hit Headliners. Again, if you would like to be a part of the hour, 517-355-WKAR. 517-355-9527 is the number to call. And right now, I want to make a transition and just talk about the bowl games for both the Michigan State and Michigan football teams. So let's just dive right into that before we hit our first break here, because, you know, this was also one of the big debates that I had with my family over the holidays. And the Christmas holiday, I should say. And we were just talking about bowl games and just to how the value of bowl games have kind of gone out the window due to the college football playoff system. Because, you know, all the college football world, especially when discussing the college, you know, the casual sports fan, I should say, you know, you just really care about who's going to win the national championship now. You know, gone is the debate now when it comes to who the Final Four teams are. You know, the Final Four teams are who they are, regardless of what your opinion may be about that. Now, some will sit there like myself and say, man, I really thought that Georgia should have been amongst that four, and I just hate how Notre Dame, you know, they don't have to risk that unblemished record in a conference championship game because Notre Dame does not play in a conference, period. You know, we can go back and forth about that. Bottom line, the Final Four is now set, and you know, all we care about nowadays is who is going to hoist up the national championship now. And when it comes to all these bowls, you know, I mentioned some of the Big Ten bowl games that will be taking place and the two that have already taken place with Minnesota and Georgia Tech and Miami and Wisconsin. They have certainly become, you know, bowl games have certainly become a conversation of relevance or irrelevance that we have nowadays. And I want to ask fans out there, when looking at both the Michigan and Florida matchup and the Michigan State and Oregon matchup, for both of those fan bases in Michigan and Michigan State, how much do you care about the result of both of these bowl games? Because I think it all boils down to expectations and the timing, more specifically the timing of expectations. Because I would argue that for Michigan State fans out there, I think you should care about the Red Box Bowl for a few different reasons. Michigan State, sure, we can sit here and cry a river like we've been doing all season about how Michigan State and Mark D'Antonio, how they couldn't compete for that Big Ten championship. And expectations were high for the Spartans. Let's keep it all the way 100 here. I mean, coming off a year where Michigan State flipped the script, you know, you go to the Holiday Bowl, you take on Washington State, you have a great outing there. Mark D'Antonio adds another double-digit win season to his resume. You return. You are one of the, you know, one of the big teams out there in college football that return most of their starters. I mean, you return all of that experience. The expectations are going to be high. Many people thought that Michigan State would be right in the thick of things competing for a Big Ten championship. We all know what happened. You know, heck, Michigan State struggles even against a team like Rutgers. Doesn't come close to competing for a Big Ten championship. And now the expectations shift. And I think the expectations for Michigan State, they certainly shifted, you know, probably like, what, midway through the year? I think reality set in right after that Michigan loss. That's when it really set in for Michigan State fans. When Michigan State lost to the Wolverines at Spartan Stadium 21-7, I think that's when Michigan State fans said, okay, this is a year where we have to shift how we look at this team. We're not going to win a Big Ten championship. That's not on the horizon anymore. What are we realistically shooting for? And maybe, okay, maybe from here on out, maybe we can, you know, looking at the schedule from here on out, you know, we play Purdue, you know, Maryland, you know, Ohio State, you know, well, Ohio State, that's probably not a win. But can we finish out the year, you know, by at least beating the teams we're supposed to beat and competing against the teams that we are tremendous underdogs against? And, you know, you look what happened the following week against Purdue. That was very impressive because Purdue, I mean, you know, that win over Ohio State was something special. That was highly unlikely, and they were able to win that game. You beat Maryland 24-3, but then the Ohio State game comes around, and that offense looked totally inept. 26-6 the final there. And then Michigan State loses to Nebraska and barely beats Rutgers 14-10 the final there. So if you're Michigan State, looking at how the expectations totally shifted mid-year from competing to a Big Ten for a Big Ten championship to, okay, can we just find some consistency with our offense and pick up a few wins here and there? And then ending the year with just a four-point win against Rutgers, you're looking at this game against Oregon and saying to yourself, all right, you know, can this offense just give me something in this game to feel hopeful about come next season? You know, can we see some kind of consistency here? Can we just get a win here? You know, where you know, you're at a time slot as well on New Year's Eve where no other teams are really playing, no other games are out there that are going on that's going to going to pounce your game. A lot of eyes are going to be on you. Can you perform to a level that's going to be impressive? And, you know, you want to feel good about this season, about some part of this season. And you want to see some consistency when it comes to that offense. You know, I don't know what the quarterback situation is going to be for Michigan State against Oregon. That's the big mystery. You know, will we see Brian Lewerke out there, or will it be the Rocky Lombardi show? You know, how healthy is, you know, Lewerke? We'll see L.J. Scott for what will be the final time. And I think L.J. Scott is going to, you know, take this game very serious because it's the final time for him to impress NFL scouts out there who are looking at his stock. And, you know, L.J. I think that L.J. Scott, I just have a gut feeling. I'm speaking totally from my gut when saying this about L.J. I think L.J. Scott is going to be a late second round, third round pick at the latest in this upcoming NFL draft. Many people will disagree with that. I just have a feeling that L.J. is going to impress during the combine. I got a feeling about L.J. Scott. That's wishful thinking, though. I mean, most would say that L.J. will be a late-round NFL draft pick. But let's just say L.J. Scott goes out there and has a great performance against Oregon, goes out there, has a great performance at the combine, his stock bumps up. But when it comes to the future of Michigan State football, you know, especially the fact that, a few weeks ago now, 2 weeks ago, Raekwon Williams, he made the decision to come back to bolster that Michigan State defense. Sure, Justin Lane is moving on, but, you know, that defensive line, which became the top rushing defense in the nation, you know, you get everybody back on that line. I think the Michigan State defense is going to be solid next season. It's just about that offense. So in a game like this against Oregon, you just want to give yourself some hope going into next year. And that's why this game should mean a lot to Michigan State fans out there. This will be a nice way to go out to give you some positive thoughts about next season, to wash away what happened earlier this year, and to propel you. This is certainly the definition. You talk about bowl games, and you hear a lot of coaches say, yeah, this will be a nice springboard, or this will help propel us into some positive momentum come next season. I truly believe this game can do that for Michigan State. Now, if you're Michigan and you look at the Peach Bowl against Florida and the high expectations that you had this season, I said that expectations, you know, is how that's what affects your lens when looking at a bowl game, because the expectations for the Michigan Wolverines this season were pretty high. Michigan finished the year 10-2. You know, you had a golden opportunity against Ohio State to represent the Big Ten East in the Big Ten Championship game. And finally, Jim Harbaugh had the opportunity to finally get that monkey off his back of not getting to the conference championship game, and they totally squandered it. Ohio State put up 62 points against that maize and blue defense. For Michigan State, you knew that they weren't competing for a championship midway through the year. For Michigan, that didn't hit you until the final game of the season. That's why I say the timing of expectations as well. That wound is still very, very fresh. And for you, going to the Peach Bowl, that wasn't the expectation. You finish out the year with that kind of performance against Ohio State, and you had all of your goals right in front of you. You could have gone. At one point, you were in the top four of the college football playoff rankings. And you let that happen? Peach Bowl? Who cares about the Peach Bowl? That's your mentality when it comes to this game, if you're a Michigan fan. And the fact that you now have four of your biggest horses who will be taking their respective talents to the NFL draft, saying, nope, not important enough, I'm not playing in it.
I will be preparing my body for the NFL Combine and the NFL Draft. I'm not playing in the Peach Bowl. Michigan fans, and the Michigan base, you don't really care about the Peach Bowl. So there are two contrasts here when talking about Michigan and Michigan State fans and how you view your respective bowl game. Because I truly believe this could be a very valuable game for Michigan State fans, but for Michigan fans, no. It's like we've been there, done that. You know, we had bigger expectations this year, and again, that Ohio State game feels like yesterday. Because it essentially was like yesterday. Last game of the year, and you don't get to Indy for yet another time. Am I right with that? What do you think? 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. I want to hear our first break right now. When we come back, we'll take your calls. I'll read a few of your comments, also courtesy of Facebook.com/WKAR News. And I'll briefly address this whole Matt Patricia being late to team meetings report. That and more, you are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. Nothing like some Charlie Brown to get you in the holiday spirit. Happy holidays to you and yours. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports live here on the final live Current Sports show of the 2018 year. Can you believe that? 2019, right around the corner. And I just wrapped up segment A by addressing both the Michigan State football fan base and the Michigan football fan base, and trying to compare how you both feel concerning your respective bowl games. Of course, Michigan State playing in the Red Box Bowl against Oregon in Santa Clara, California on New Year's Eve, and the Michigan Wolverines playing, of course, in the Peach Bowl against Florida tomorrow in Atlanta at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Now, I think there are two opinions here on how you feel about these bowl games. I want to go behind the glass real quick. Brad Walker, an avid sports fan. And, Brad, you know, we always have conversations. You know, you'll come into Studio S, and we always rap about the latest in the happenings of the sports world. And I'm curious, Brad, you being a Michigan State fan, am I right on when it comes to that feeling about how Michigan State fans are viewing the Red Box Bowl? Because I truly believe this could be, with everything that happened this year, the woes especially, we all know, when I say with everything that happens, that happened with Michigan State football, we all know that the spotlight was on that Michigan State offense and mm-hmm. how they struggled, because that was a top-tier college football defense that we saw squandered this year because mm-hmm. of how inept the offense was. And I think this is a game that, you know, if Michigan State, if the offense somehow gets it together and they look somehow coherent in this game, this could bode well and could legit be, and I'm not just saying this for sports language, you know, a springboard into next year. I really believe, though, this could be a possible springboard or ease the thoughts of Michigan State fans out there depending on how that offense performs against Oregon. If you're a Michigan fan, you don't care at all about the Peach Bowl because the expectations were much higher. Am I right with that, Brad?
I think so. For the MSU game, I'll be looking at Brian Lewerke's arm. That's all I care about because he's had some time off, and if his arm is still not there, he probably will need surgery, is my guess. And Rocky Lombardi's going to play. So that would be a big question mark. That's the only thing I'm looking forward to seeing is Brian's arm. Now, remember last year when MSU took on Washington State and handled him? And we knew most of those guys were coming back. So the expectations for this year was it's Big Ten. We're going to win the – we got a chance to win the championship and because of that performance.
Right.
And what a letdown it was because it started with Michigan and really, I mean, Ohio State and
yeah.
Rutgers and whatever. I mean – You know,
and I think it set in, Brad. It set in after that Michigan game, I think, which was like midway through the year. For Michigan, the wound is so fresh. You know, with Michigan State fans, they kind of processed it so early in the season. It's like, all right, can we at least just be competitive against some of the Big Ten's best? Michigan, I think, you know, Michigan was I think they were an underdog in that game against Ohio State looking at some lines. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't like they were tremendous underdogs. Nobody thought that Ohio State was going to throw up 62 points. No. So that wound is still so fresh that it just, you look at the Peach Bowl and say, I don't care about the Peach Bowl. But for Michigan State fans, it's like, yeah, we struggled pretty much all year.
Right.
You know, I'm hoping that the offense looks good in this game. You kind of care.
But I mean, what kind of expectations, though? I mean, last year we had huge expectations for the following year after they just throttled Washington State. We looked great offensively and defensively. Mm-hmm. And then look what happened this year. I mean, really, I mean, what are we going to get out of this game so that we do well? If MSU wins the game and does well, does that really matter toward next year? Because this past year didn't matter.
Okay, I'll ask you this then, Brad. Okay. If... Let's just say, and we don't know if Brian Lewerke is going to play in this game.
I have no idea.
I think, to piggyback off your statement, Brad, if there is any inkling that Brian Lewerke is not 100%, you sit him down. If he's 99.9% healthy, Brad, sit him down. He's not 100%.
Right.
If he's 99.9, throw in Rocky Lombardi. Well, let's just say, if Brian Lewerke played, had a tremendous game, if he's 100%, he's healthy, he's out there, he threw four touchdowns, you know, 300 yards, no interceptions, he looks great, how would you feel about next season? I think that would that ease or calm your nerves about how bad the offense looked this season?
Yes.
It would.
It would ease a little bit, yes, absolutely. But, like you said, if Lewerke is still having issues with his shoulder, please don't play. And if he is having issues and he needs surgery, get it.
Yeah.
Get it now because, like, if it's a labrum, it takes a while.
Right. It takes a while.
After that surgery, that takes a while to heal.
And I think, and I'm with you, Brad, I think Jim Harbaugh hit it right on the head when he alluded to it being a possible labrum injury. So I want to hear from you guys, 517-355-WKAR. Before we hit our final break, let's go to our phone lines right now. Ray from Indiana on line one. Ray, what's up?
Hey, guys, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, Ray. How you doing, man? How was your Christmas?
Go Gators! Beat the Bullies! The Bullies!
The one and the only Ray from Indiana, folks. Ray, first of all, man, how was your Christmas holiday, man?
Oh, it was all right. The kids never come around. I ended up eating at IHOP, but what else is new?
Hold on, Ray. You went to IHOP on Christmas Day?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
I've been doing that for 2 years now.
By yourself?
Nobody ever invites me over. Well, I had a woman at Longhorn. I haven't seen her in 10 days. She told me she'd put me up, but it didn't work out.
So, Ray, you were lonely at IHOP on Christmas Day.
Well, it's been like that all my Christmases.
Oh, no.
But that's all right. You know, I went out and got some things for the children's hospitals. I got 85% at two lulls up here the day after Christmas, and
yeah.
I only slept an hour and a half. I was up at 3 in the morning. I had to be over there at 6, and got there at 6:30, and everything, 85%, was already sold. I only got 8 or 10 things, and this is how God works in mysterious ways.
I went
through 4 hours through the city. In the last two CVSs, I almost bought the store out. They had tons of stuff. They give me 75%. And then yesterday, I went to another couple Walgreens and only found one thing.
I
found 21 items for the children's hospitals and for sending stuff to other people, you know, to be kind.
Right. Oh, that's beautiful, Ray. We all know here at Current Sports that you have a kind heart. You do that every Christmas. And I'm so sorry that you spent Christmas alone at IHOP.
Right. It's been like that all my life. I've been divorced since 90. I brought two kids up by myself. I got five grandkids. one that was adopted, two are lost. Just because you're a Christian, that don't mean you're not going to go through heartache. But
right.
God's been great to me. I can still run. I can still work out every day, 6 miles, 200 push-ups. I'll be 70 in August. So.
Oh, man. All right.
God's been good to me.
That's right. Well, Ray, thank you so much for the call. Appreciate it, brother. And Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year.
You got it.
Get them Gators tomorrow. Eat them up.
Of course. Michigan, I'll tell you, Ray, the most notorious Michigan hater that you'll ever find. Ray spending Christmas alone at IHOP. That's so, come on. Oh, my God. Ray, next time if that happens, if you're still listening, man, I'll be sure to reach out to the Martin family, and we'll take you in next year for Christmas, okay? No one should spend Christmas alone. All right. Let's hit our final break. When we come back, we'll have a Fit Fridays with Blessed Body Training founder Johnny Lewis. He'll tell you how to stick to those New Year's resolution goals of getting fit in 2019. All right? That and more. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. And in just a moment, we are going to welcome to the show Johnny Lewis, my brother from another mother, with another edition of Fit Fridays with Blessed Body Training. As Johnny Lewis, of course, is the founder of Blessed Body Training. And we'll get him on the phone in just a moment. This is the final live edition of Current Sports of the 2018 year. And you know what happens when a new year hits, you know, and we briefly touched on this with Johnny last week. The gyms become overcrowded. Everybody starts off the race of 2019 ready to get fit, change of lifestyle, eat healthier, live healthier, get in the gym on the daily or on the weekly, you know, at least 3 days out the week, right? And then all of a sudden, you know, February hits and it's the same old, same old. So Johnny is now going to give us some tips on how to stay consistent throughout the new year and keep those goals right there and accomplished throughout all 12 months. We welcome Johnny Lewis, who joins us via phone from beautiful Arizona. Johnny, how you doing, man?
Hey, Al, I'm pretty good. How are you doing?
I'm fantastic, brother. I know that you had a great Christmas. The Lewis House always does it up. And you know what? We haven't touched on this, man, but I meant to bring this up. You know, your family is so big into holidays, no matter what the holiday is. I mean, you guys go all out every holiday, so much so that I'll never forget this, Johnny. When I visited Arizona one time, I believe it was like June or either this year or last year, your mom had decorations up for Flag Day. I will never forget that, man. I kid you not, when I tell you the Lewis household celebrates every holiday, I mean every holiday, dude. How was your Christmas, man?
You know, my Christmas was amazing, and you are right. My mom celebrates. My mom's big on every holiday. We have, like, totes and totes of, like, holiday decorations for every single holiday, like Valentine's Day, to St. Patrick's Day, everything. So, yeah, that's true. That's definitely true.
And Flag Day. I couldn't believe Flag Day to celebrate.
Flag Day is a little bit out there, but, yeah, even Flag Day.
It's amazing. All right, Johnny, let's dive right into it, man. I know you want to tackle, you know, some fun ways outside of the gym to stay fit in 2019 and, again, really tackle those New Year's resolutions of living a healthier life. What are those five fun ways, J. Lou?
Yeah, so, Al, you asked a great question last week, and this is why I came up with this idea. You said, what is going to keep people in the gym? And I asked a few people around here, and a common response was they get bored of the gym. So five ways. The number one I have, and this is a personal one, boxing or martial arts. Like any kind of boxing class or martial arts class. I remember me and you did a judo class back in college, and I was
I remember that.
You remember that, right,
Al? Of course. Of course. One of my favorite classes that I've ever taken here at Michigan State, man.
Exactly. So it's a great way to stay active without getting bored at the gym. Number two, I have hot yoga or just regular yoga or hot yoga. It's a great isometric workout. So it's like not like holding poses and not too much lifting or body weight workouts, basically.
Right. And hot yoga, Johnny, for those that don't know, because I didn't know this until a while ago. Well, actually this year. But hot yoga is when they actually like just pump in steam in the room. Right.
Yeah. Exactly.
And you do it in a hot atmosphere, right?
It's not necessarily steam, I don't think. It's kind of like a sauna.
Right, like a sauna,
but
yeah.
It's very hot, and without even moving, you'll be sweating. So I've only done it once, and it was a few months ago, but it was a great workout and just relaxing for the mind, body, and soul, like they say.
Love it, love it. All right, what's the next one?
So number three, I'm going to say dancing. I've been having a lot of people I know interested in dance classes, and dance is a full body workout, you know, and it's fun for a lot of people. So dance is definitely up there. Number four, I'm going to say CrossFit. CrossFit is kind of still in the gym, but it's a lot different than your traditional just going to the gym and working out. You know, it's more of a group or a group activity and coaching, and it's just fun. It's a lot different. I've never done it myself, but I have seen tons of videos, and I know a few people that's into CrossFit.
All right. I love it. And yeah, CrossFit, that was like a really big growing trend like 2 years ago. And I see, you know, I actually have a fraternity brother that you know, Johnny. I mean, he was huge into it. It's different, though, because I think it's really like high intensity kind of workouts that I believe that you touched on a while ago. Is that accurate to say? Right.
Exactly. That HIIT workout style.
Exactly. So, all right.
And then the last one I'm going to say is pretty broad. It's really general. So adult leagues. So this is for anything you like to do. You can typically find an adult league for like basketball, flag football. I know if you're in college, a lot of colleges have intramural sports. There's a guy at work. He's actually in his 60s, and he goes to play pickleball. I've never even heard of pickleball, but it's kind of like tennis. He broke it down to me. And it's like he has a group, and they're all like similar age, and they're still just crushing it every week. So there's so many things you can do, things you like to do, things that are actually fun to stay in shape. And I believe that that's the best way, other than accountability like we talked about, but that's the best way to stay with it and stick with your New Year resolution.
I love that. Make it fun. If you get bored in the gym, and that's the reason why you haven't stayed consistent when it comes to those respective goals, again, have fun with it. You know, boxing and martial arts classes, dance classes, yoga or hot yoga, CrossFit, and adult league sports. I love that list, Johnny. And, of course, you give us a tip that we can use in the kitchen as well, and you want to talk about fruit and veggie platters.
Yes. Yeah, fruit and veggie platters, man, that's the way to go, especially if you're doing any New Year's Eve hosting or celebration and, you know, you want to prepare dishes. That's one of the healthiest ways I can think of to have a great New Year's. A veggie platter, you know, typically is broccoli, cauliflower, celery, and carrots. And, you know, they're not too expensive, but if you even want to make it cheaper, you can always buy the ingredients yourself and just cut the veggies up and then get your own kind of dipping sauce. I know a lot of people use ranch, but there's all kinds of healthy alternatives or based on what your diet is, you know. But also fruit platters, you know, mixed fruits, you know. So that's a great way to celebrate this New Year's Eve or New Year celebration and the healthy way, you know.
I love it. I love it, Johnny. And I'll just kind of give you the form as we come up here on the ending of this final current sports of 2018. I want to give you a moment just to talk to our listeners out there, maybe give them a word of encouragement as they do begin those 2019 fitness goals. What would you like to say to our listeners out there, man?
Okay, man, I'm going to keep it real simple because I wasn't prepared for this, but I do have something for you. So all I'm going to say is consistency is key.
That's it. It
keep
is.
With it.
That's anything, right? If you want to be successful in anything, you got to be consistent and you have to be disciplined. Johnny Lewis, Fit Fridays with Blessed Body Training founder Johnny Lewis. Johnny, thank you so much, man, and happy holidays, man.
Thank you. Happy holiday. Happy New Year to you, too, Al, and stay blessed.
Always stay blessed. All right, as we come up here with just 2 minutes left in the hour, let's give some predictions, Brad, because you know what? Can we play? Do we have time for this bite real quick? I want to play this real briefly. Check out this. This is Quinnen Williams commenting of Alabama, commenting on Kyler Murray, quarterback of Oklahoma.
You've gone up against any quarterback that slightly resembles Kyler Murray?
No, I don't feel like I have going against a quarterback that slightly resembles Kyler Murray, but I feel like Kyler Murray is not where about.
What's that?
No, I'm good.
So did you hear that? Did you get that? Brad Quinnen Williams, who was a defensive lineman for Alabama, was asked about quarterback Kyler Murray and whether or not Kyler has faced a defense anything like Alabama's. And he was about to give you something there.
Mm-hmm, he was.
And then stopped because he knew Nick Saban would have probably chewed him up.
He was all good.
Oh, man. I love that. All right, but who do you got, Brad? Who will we be watching in the national championship game? What will happen tomorrow, you think?
That wide receiver for Oklahoma has to play. Is it Marquise?
Yeah, you're talking about Brown.
Marquise Brown.
Marquise Brown, right.
I think they'll upset Alabama, and Clemson will beat Notre Dame.
Okay. What? You think Alabama will go down?
Yep.
Wow. That's bold, Brad.
I'm going with it.
I'm going with Alabama and Clemson.
Oh, yeah.
Another Alabama-Clemson matchup.
Sure, why not?
Why not, right? Why not? But, yeah, Marquise Hollywood Brown is ready. To go in that matchup. But, hey, Happy New Year, folks. Have a great rest of your 2018, and be easy, people.